Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as we face the issues. I pray that you join us on this broadcast each day as we do so. As we travel through the issues of life, I pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and that as a result of tuning into the broadcast, you will share it with others and you will grow your faith in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies truth. He says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues each day, whatever they may be in your life or in mine, we need to face them based on the authority of Scripture, based on the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. That is the source book for Christians. That is our guidebook. That should be the light and lamp unto our feet and pathway as we serve the Lord each day. And we're going to have issues, differing issues at differing times. But ladies and gentlemen, across America today, we're facing some very serious issues. We'll talk about some of those in just a moment. But first of all, let me remind you, as one of our listeners, as our listener tune in each day, each and every day, we want to invite you to July the 7th. I realize it sounds like a long time away. It's just about 3 weeks. July the 7th, we'll be celebrating our Independence Day celebration, God and Country Day. God and Country Day. We'll have the Groves Family Singers in concert with us. They'll be singing some gospel songs and some wonderful patriotic hymns, and I know that you'll be blessed by that. We'll also have Patrick Henry, the reenactment of Patrick Henry's "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death" statement. Most know that statement, "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death." You do not know the setting, do not know the place or the time. You do not know, for the most part, most people do not know, the lengthy speech that Patrick Henry made. And the final statements in that speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." We'll have Harry McKay that will be here. He does the reenactment, dresses as Patrick Henry, and with memory and great zeal and passion, gives the totality of that. I believe it's about 18 or 20-minute speech that he gives that should challenge every Christian, every conservative, to be found faithful in serving the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you to put it on your calendar. July the 7th, and that is the few days after July the 4th, July the 4th being in midweek. We usually have our God and Country Day on a Sunday. So it's the Sunday following July the 4th, still celebrating Independence Day, and we're looking forward to having you with us. We'll have barbecue lunch. There's a brief, small cost for that, but the barbecue lunch will be served. We'll immediately make a transition then under a little tent on the side of the property where we'll have the ceremonial groundbreaking services for our retirement center that we're developing as a ministry for the church. We'll have 88 apartments, 104 beds, I believe it is, a massive structure that will house the seniors, giving us an opportunity to minister to them and allowing the Lord to bless them and using their lives in serving the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you to put that on your calendar. July the 7th, the services start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and usually a day like that is a pretty lengthy time, but it's broken up with events, and so you will be appreciative of the total time that you will invest in it. Usually we're out of here about 12:30, 1 o'clock, so it'll be starting at 10 o'clock. Put it on your calendar. We met you on there. We'd love to meet you in person. We'd love to have you as part of the worship services on that very special day. Of course, you're invited. Any services prior to that, this Sunday is Father's Day. Looking forward to having many of you join us for the Father's Day service. If you're in the city and your dad is still alive, bring him to church with you. If you're not involved in a church, come and worship with us. We're going to have a wonderful message from the Word of God about fathers, and then some singing from the old hymn books, as I call it, where we have the gospel singing that you will enjoy and be appreciative of the message from the Word of God. We met you on there. We want to meet you in person. So let me encourage you to be found faithful in serving the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, be delighted to have you worship with us. And if you are looking for one where you can learn the Word of God, we pray that you will find this your church home. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue that we want to talk about today is my question. Should Christians fight back? Now, I understand that sounds militant. That's not meant to sound militant at all. But the question is, should Christians fight back? Francis Schaeffer said many years ago, how should we then live? Based on what we see taking place in the world today, and especially in America today, what should be the response of Christians? Ladies and gentlemen, a study of the Bible reveals real people, real issues, and real stands for truth and for freedom and for values. Let me just share two or three very briefly. I'll give you a snippet of two or three issues in the Scripture that men of old faced and how they responded to set the stage for where we're going in this broadcast today. If you have a pen and paper, make some notes. You might want to go back and study it. It's an inspiring, challenging text on two or three of these. But in the third chapter of Daniel, it's about 30, 31 verses for the whole chapter. We'll not belabor the whole chapter, but just simply summarize it for our broadcast today. But in Daniel, the third chapter, we see the king giving a national directive, a national decree, a national order. And that decree, that command, that order was to submit by worshiping, bowing down and worshiping an idol. The news went out. The order was given to everyone that everywhere you would be required to fall down and worship the golden image. By the way, when you study the text, the golden image was about 90 feet tall and about 9 foot wide out of solid gold. It'd be several hundred million dollars today. But that golden image was set up in the plains of Dura, and the king gave the command, the decree, went out to everybody, everywhere, everybody that was important, according to the Scripture. In fact, it elaborates very heavily on the groups of people that the order went out to. And it was literally inclusive of everybody in the kingdom of that day. The threat was made, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as you studied Daniel, the third chapter, that if you don't obey, if you refuse to fall down and worship the image, by the way, it was a demand, a command, a directive by the government for false worship. And now I could do a lot of corollaries on that at this point, but I won't do it to continue the narrative. But the threat was made, don't you dare disobey. If you don't obey, you'll be cast into the fiery furnace. Well, everybody obeyed. They just fell down in lockstep. They followed society. They followed societal norms. No one in that day wanted to go against the government. If the government said it, it must be all right. And so everybody that you see in the text, all of those that had received the orders, they fell down and worshiped before the false image, the image made of gold, representing, if you please, the New World Order, representing in that day the illicit, immoral, ungodly, unholy worship of that which was not God. And everybody did, with an exception of three young men. You studied the Scripture, their names, and you might remember them if you've studied the Scripture at all. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three Hebrew young men refused to dishonor God. They refused to bow down and worship a false god. And then the king, when he heard about it, he ordered the men before him. He sat and basically reviewed what the order was initially. He reviewed with them the threat of what would happen if they didn't, and gave them another opportunity to do so, if you will. And even though they did not bow the first time, when the king basically gave them a verbal tongue lashing and a threat in person, they refused to bend. They basically said, and may I paraphrase, if we live, we live, and if we die, we die. We're going to obey God first and foremost. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, ladies and gentlemen. But I want you to understand when you study the text in that third chapter of the book of Daniel, they had not bowed to the image. They refused to bend when threatened by governmental authority. And as a result of that, they did not burn. God would not allow them to burn, even in the fiery furnace. They were willing to fight back. They were willing to risk their lives in their stand for God. God protected them. God delivered them. God delivered them from death in the fiery furnace. Then, ladies and gentlemen, we find in the sixth chapter of Daniel, when the government banned prayer. You know, it's not the first time, just like in the city of Jacksonville, where the city councilman decided they were going to introduce the bills, City Council 2019-329. They were going to ban prayer in the city of Jacksonville at the city council meetings. They were going to allow the government to tell you how to pray, what you could pray and what you could say and what you could not say in a prayer. Well, that's not new. We found across America today where Christians are being thwarted, the plan of God's being denied, where Christians refuse to be able to pray in Jesus' name. You cannot pray at public venues. You cannot pray in school. You cannot read the Bible. You cannot have your Bible. You cannot have pledge to the flag in most public schools today. So that's not brand new. It was back in Daniel's day, when Daniel, the sixth chapter, the government banned prayer. They were told that for 30 days you cannot pray. You cannot pray to God. What did Daniel do? Did he fall down and cry? Did he wring his hands? Did he creep into the closet and say, well, the government said it, that settles it, I must obey it? No, he didn't do that. He went up into his room, as the scripture says, into his chambers, with the windows open toward Jerusalem, that is, open, public, for everybody to see. And he bowed down on his knees with the windows open, and he prayed, the scripture says, three times a day, as he normally would have done. Daniel said to the political correctness in a very, very clear fashion. Daniel said, no, I'm going to obey God. Daniel prayed just as he normally would pray. He said that political correctness is ungodly, and I'm not going to obey political correctness. Now, perhaps you're listening to this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, and you're saying, well, what are you saying? What are you saying that we need to do as Christians? Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians today and as a church today, and as conservatives today, you may not be Christian, you may be conservative. I'm speaking to you too. As the church, as Christians, and as conservatives, we need to understand what we ought to do is to obey God first, foremost, and finally. You can go to the book of Acts and you find Peter and the others were preaching on the street corner, street preaching. They tried to ban street preaching in Peter's day. The political correctness today in many cities, there's a sound decimal ordinance where street preacher get out with a bullhorn and try to preach. They won't say now you can't preach, but they simply say the noise level is too high. And some cities are trying to institute a license requirement for preachers to preach on the street corner, which is unholy, ungodly, unconstitutional, totally. Anything that would thwart the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights, anything that would thwart that or in any way tried to contravene that is illegal and unconstitutional. They might think in the city of Jacksonville they can ban prayer. They can't constitutionally. And I pray that they will have understood that. I understood yesterday that they were supposed to withdraw that bill last evening. I watched city council meeting for several hours and did not see any withdrawal of it. So I don't know the status of it as of today. But back in Daniel's day, they tried to ban prayer. And Daniel refused to do so. He went to his rooms, went to his upper room, prayed with the windows open. And as you study the text in the sixth chapter of Daniel, you find that as a result of that, they were those that were watching. They had already been listening to his telephone calls, spying on him, like the administration, the Obama administration did with President Trump. They'd been spying on him. Perhaps if you'd go back to what would be viewed as the norm for today, perhaps they'd gone through all of his emails. Perhaps they'd gone through Daniel's Twitter account. Perhaps they had looked at his inbox and his outbox. Perhaps they'd looked at his not just Twitter, but the Pinterest account and Google account, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to find out who he'd talked with and what he'd done. That's exactly what they've done to President Trump, trying to find some area that they could fault him in to remove him. Same thing was in Daniel's day. Daniel refused to do so. You heard the rest of the story. as a result of that, he was thrown into the den of lions. And what did God do? God shut the lion's mouth. God gave Daniel a lion for a pillow and a lion for a footstool, and he slept like a baby. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand is if we obey the scripture, if we obey God in standing as salt and light, literally, if you want to call it that, as Christians, if we fight back, now listen very carefully. Some will get your feathers ruffled up and say, well, that preacher's talking about being in the battlefield, et cetera, et cetera. No, no, we're in the battlefield every day, ladies and gentlemen. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, when he was about to lay down his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. The Christian life is a fight. If you think that it's not, you've got your head buried in the sand. The Christian life is a battle. And so asking the question, should we fight back? That is, should we stand and be verbally, visibly in the battle for truth and for the Word of God? And my answer is absolutely unequivocally, yes, we should. When Peter and others were told you couldn't preach on the street corner, they picked them up, they beat them, put them in jail, and released them the next day and said, don't you do that anymore. The next day, they were doing the same thing. They arrested them again and said, didn't we tell you not to do that? And in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, in the 29th verse, Peter said, scripture, and I'm reading it, then said Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not saying that we need to be anarchists. That's not the point at all. That's not saying that we need to openly defy the government. There are laws on the books. It's good. Stop sign is there to protect us. A warning sign of curves and danger ahead is there to protect us. But, ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi and others in the Socialist Democratic Demonic Party today, they're trying to destroy anything that's called the church and anything that's called Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, today in America, Christians and conservatives are being threatened, abused, demeaned, and prosecuted and persecuted as never before. At one time, this was done subtly. At one time, this was done quietly. But today, it's open. It's in your face. Today, through the fake media and through social media and political operatives, they're all trying to ban Christianity. They're trying to ban Christians and public prayer. They're trying to ban anything that's called political activity by the Christian, trying to say, and many Christians believe the lie, that Christians ought not to be involved in the political activity. The reason we're in the doldrums of darkness and decay today as the church and as Christians and as moral ethical citizens is a result of Christians staying out of the political process. If you don't believe that, just watch the city council and their bifurcation of the truth. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you just watch the Tallahassee folks in the state of Florida. If you don't believe that, you watch the Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer entourage in Washington and see what's happening. And that's simply because we as Christians have stayed out of the political process and we've allowed the wolves to come in that's now trying to eat the sheep and destroy the sheep. And ladies and gentlemen, here are several articles that I'm just going to touch on. Some of you know the social media called Pinterest, P-E-N-T-E-R-E-S-T, Pinterest. Here's an article that says Pinterest bans front page other conservative sites. The article says, and I'll just read one brief paragraph. It was pretty surprised. I was pretty surprised, said the Pinterest insider in an interview when she, he, whoever it was, discovered the pro-life group liveaction.org was added to a porn domain block list. The insider explained that the block list was intended to be a collection of pornographic websites that Pinterest uses in order to ensure that pornography cannot be posted. Liveaction.org is not a pornographic website. Instead, it is the web domain of the prominent pro-life advocacy group. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is Pinterest now, they have an algorithm that's set up where it's personally being watched, that if anything about pro-life goes on to Pinterest, they are then considering it to be no less than and equal to a pornographic website, and they are banning it from Pinterest. Now, Google is doing that. Yahoo's doing that. And much of your social media like Facebook, we already know that they're doing that. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you, from the fake media and the social media, Christians are being persecuted, prosecuted, and literally put out of the arena of publicizing what we're doing. Here's another article that says, Pinterest attacks Christians and from the pro-life perspective. The article says, social media platform Pinterest has responded to documentary evidence released by James O'Keefe and the Project Veritas that it discriminates against Christians and pro-life subjects by banning Live Action, the very popular and influential pro-life organization that fights abortions, and misinformation with videos and expert analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another headline. Pinterest lists anti-abortion groups as pornographic sites, banning them. Pinterest banned anti-abortion group Live Action after they had disabled some of its pages featuring features by listing it as a pornographic site. How would you like to have a Christian site on Pinterest or any of the other social media, and you find that it's listed as a pornographic site? I mean, that's a spit in the face. That's a kick in the belly. That's an absolute way to try to destroy anything that's called moral ethics in Christians. And any Christian, ladies and gentlemen, today that will take a stand against the sodomite lifestyle, any Christian that will take a stand against the pro-choice agenda that is murder by way of abortion, you're counted as a pornographic site and you're banned. You're looked at, we're looked at as being scum. And as a result of that, we find society today, including the political correctness, saying that you cannot be involved in the Christian lifestyle and make it public, or you're going to be somehow demeaned or shut out. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, should Christians fight back? Socialist Democrat Nancy Pelosi, 240 votes in the House just 2 weeks ago, passed House Bill 5 by 240 votes, and it simply is, and it's now in the Senate being heard, probably in a committee. It's Senate Bill 788. They already have 46 senators lined up. All they need is 51. 46 senators are to lined up in favor of it, and it is a pro-LGBTQ agenda bill. It is a pro-death bill that will allow murder by way of abortion up to and including birth of the child. Ladies and gentlemen, as one in one of the Senate committees, when they refused to allow a person to refuse to now have in the swearing-in oath, under God, when they refused to have that God's name in the oath, and was challenged by a senator from Georgia openly in the meeting, the leader of that group, that investigatory committee, Nadler, says, it is all right. It's one of the others. It wasn't Nadler. It was one of the senators from Tennessee, Cohen, K-O-H-N. He said, it's all right to have God in the cathedrals, all right to have God in a church. It's all right to have God in the synagogues, but God is not to be found in the Congress, end quote. That's literally what they've done, ladies and gentlemen. They have banned God, and they're trying to prevent you, trying to prevent me, trying to prevent the Christian and the church from having anything publicly to say. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, where Mike Pence took a stand because, you know, they were trying to fly the LGBTQ flag on the American flag staff, just under the American flag, at the U.S. Embassy. And Mike Pence was recently asked about it because the president had said no through the State Department. State Department made the notice. It was from the president that said no. And here's the article. Mike Pence says banning the pride flag at U.S. embassies is the right decision. Dateline Washington. In a television interview Monday evening, Vice President Mike Pence confirmed reports that American embassies have had been banned from flying the pride flag on their embassy flag poles. Ladies and gentlemen, it says here, the Trump administration came under fire at the beginning of June for allegedly banning U.S. embassies from flying the pride flag. American diplomats told NBC News that embassies, including those in Israel, Germany, Brazil, and Latvia, had requested to fly a pride flag alongside the U.S. flag on their embassy flagpoles and were denied. June is Pride Month, one said, monitoring month-long celebration of the LGBTQ community. And then Vice President Pence was asked the question. He said, yes, it was banned, and it was the right thing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this. We need to recognize that we're in a battle. We're in a war. We sing the song often as Christians, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, without recognizing that we are in a de facto battle. It is a life and death battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan being fought out in the hearts and the lives and the minds of Christians and in people in general in the world today. ladies and gentlemen, today, even medical professionals that say that there's only two sexes are being fired. Well, may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this House Bill 5 and the Senate Bill 788, if passed, it will destroy anything that's called Christianity. It will destroy anything called the church. The bill will make the LGBTQ agenda top priority, with Christian voices being silenced and churches being closed and destroyed. Today, even the medical professionals are fired when they say that there are only two sexes, male and female. Here's an article that says the NPR, the National Public Radio, erupts over male and female, he created them statement. The Vatican has released a document titled Male and Female, He Created Them, and it has NPR erupting in distress over the clear suggestion that there are men and there are women, and that's how God created them. The idea flies in the face of today's political correct social agenda that sometimes identifies many different sexual orientations or gender identities. The fight is going on all over and all across America as men who say that they are women demand to enter into women's shower rooms, dressing rooms, and locker rooms. At the agenda's extremist Democratic majority, in some states are banning even discussion by counselors of heterosexual lifestyle with minors who have unwanted homosexual feelings. The article further says, so essentially, here the Pope is saying that God determines the sexes of human beings. To do otherwise will destabilize the family as an institution, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, free speech is free speech unless it's Christian free speech. And today there's an attempt to foreclose, to totally disallow and disavow free speech for the Christian. That's where we are. And as a result of that, if you take a stand publicly for Jesus Christ, if you understand that we're in a battle just like Daniel faced, if you understand we're in a battle just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced, if you understand we're in a battle just like the Apostle Paul faced, if you understand we're in a battle just like Peter and the other apostles faced, we need to do as they did and stand while we yet have time, while we yet have opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this very open and candidly. I don't believe I have seen it in my lifetime, and I'm still under the 100 mark. I don't believe I've ever seen it in my lifetime where there's such a demoralization and such a demand for the bending and the bowing of the Christian ideal and the Christian's conscience and the Christian's philosophy based on a biblical worldview. It is totally under attack. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. The View co-host says Jesus would attend gay pride parade with pride. Kids safer at LGBTQ events than the church, end quote. This is a brief article on this. The View co-host Sonny Hostin, H-O-S-T-I-N, said she believes that Jesus Christ would attend the LGBTQ pride with pride after a Catholic bishop warned that the festivities were especially harmful to children and contrary to the Catholic faith. Ahead of Pride Month, Catholic Bishop Thomas Tobin of Rhode Island took on Twitter to remind Christians to avoid partaking in the LGBT celebrations. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened to see that you would think that someone would have to say for Christians not to participate in the sodomite lifestyle in the parade. This article goes further, said a reminder that Catholics should not support or attend the LGBTQ Pride Month events held in June. He wrote, they promote a culture and encourage activities that are contrary to faith and morals. They are especially harmful to Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, the co-host on the Five on the television garbage network said, and I quote, and you know, my faith always taught me that what would Jesus do? And I know Jesus would be attending the gay pride parades with pride in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding across America further attacks on Christians. Here's an article that says Colorado Christian Cake Shop sued a third time for discrimination. The owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, which won a case before the U.S. Supreme Court recently, was sued for the third time this week. Jax Phillips of Lakewood, Colorado, bakery owner who has refused to bake cakes that violate his Christian faith, is being sued again. A transgender woman wanted a cake baked for her transgender transition, and Jack Phillips said no. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, we're in a world today where there's an attack on Christianity. The question is, should Christians fight back? We need to stand as salt and light. We need to be salt in a decaying society, light in a darkened world, and face the world without fear or intimidation and say, God says it, that settles. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.